And Mrs. Middleton is going to come now. She's maybe going to say a wee bit about the Bible Club and the theme of the week. And then she's going to do some things with the boys and girls.
I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. It's a great privilege to be here. And it certainly was a great privilege to be with the boys and girls this week. Now, I don't know what or how your children behave when they're at home, but I want to tell you they were fantastic this week, and you should be proud of them very much. There were great singing, the memory verses, setting up well. We had a great fun time, but when it came to the precious word of God, the children were very, very good. Weren't you, boys and girls?
Yeah.
Weren't you, boys and girls?
Yeah.
They were so good. What a great week. It really, really was. The theme of our week, for the message for the boys and girls, was the broad and the narrow way. It's always good to do your best to keep it as simple as you can for them. I think often of the book of Matthew in chapter 18. We have an example of the Lord Jesus Christ there, who brought a little child into the midst or into the middle of where him and his disciples were. And I think about it often. We were taught it even when I was in Bible college, but it was something that always comes to me when I think about teaching young children. And he said, the Lord Jesus said, if anyone despise any of these little ones who believe in me, the Lord Jesus said it would be better that a millstone be hung around their neck and that they be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's how important the Lord Jesus puts upon speaking and teaching the boys and girls, and it is a great privilege for us to be able to do that. Now, boys and girls, let's see how the mummies and daddies and all the guardians and the parents and the grannies and grandas, what two roads do we learn about this week? Hands up. Caleb? Good man. The narrow way and the broad way. And where does the broad way take us to? Your hand was up first, Darren. That's right. Eternal destruction. Where does the narrow way take us to? Albie, I think your hand was up first. Eternal life. So it's important. It's not just for the children, but it's good for the mummies and daddies to hear it. And our prayer this week was also that the children would go home to their houses and be able to even sing the choruses and tell their mummies and daddies or whoever's in their family about what they'd learnt about this week. And so we're gonna let all the grown-ups hear us singing now, aren't we? Because we're great singers, aren't we? Yep. Well, that wee girl is anyway. I don't know about the rest of them. And we're going to sing, first of all. This is one of the favourites of the week. I May Never March. Now, we're growing up, so I don't want to tire you out too much, okay? Because you have to get fit for the wee cup of tea later and all. So we're going to ask the boys and girls, all right? And we'll maybe ask the leaders or the volunteers, or we'll ask the people who helped this week, all to stand up now. We're going to sing I May Never March in the infantry. I'm going to remember we have to keep up with the music. But we've got music this week, and I tell you, I was nearly out of breath after every sentence, for it went that fast. But it's good to keep up, and you better watch. I don't do it wrong. So all the grown-ups watching, no pressure, okay? And we'll listen for the introduction here. It's good to be not only in the Lord's family, but in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for the parents and for those of the children who have at home for sending them along this week to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned about also this week about making a choice. The Bible tells us that we're born in sin and we're on the broad road then. And the choice we have to make in life, not only for the young people and the boys and girls, but for older ones, we have to make a choice. Are we going to follow the Lord and get off the broad way, or are we going to get onto the narrow way and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? So that's what the important thing of our message was this week, to get off the broad road and to get on to the narrow way, excuse me, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing One Way. This was our theme chorus for the week, obviously because we're talking about the way, what way to go. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Who is the only way? Some wee one? Which one are you now? Kyla? Who is the only way, Kyla? Yes, identical twins here, by the way. I'm not Kyla and Nicole, but I'm just not quite sure which is which. Good girl, that's right. The Lord Jesus. So, grown-ups can sing along too. All right, you'll not be as good as the boys and girls. So. That's fine. That's it. I like sing on, son. That's great. And the last one we did was I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right. This is, makes me exhausted, this one. You have to give me a wee minute here because I'm a wee bit short of breath. And my tongue's sticking to the roof of my mouth. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Do you think we should, what about if we sing it first and then we'll get the grown-ups to stand up or will we? No? Who said no? I must have been an older person. Well, just you lot. You come on, you up. Oh, everybody stand up. We'll show them how to do it, okay? I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right. Everybody up, come on. Leaders and all, come on. For this one, here we're sorting out it. Thank you. Okay, are you ready for this one now? Are we ready? Okay. In right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. I'm in right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in, my kids, my heart, sing. I'm in right. Now, we're just going to go over the memory verse a few times. We chose this week to have two verses recited and gone over each day. Sometimes when you do a Bible school or Bible club, you can pick a different verse for each night. But we knew the children in Bethany were really smart and poured it down here. And it turned out they were really, really smart. And my husband was telling them, the children in Donaghadee, and this is there's nobody from Donaghadee here tonight, so we're all right. They're monsters. As he was telling them all week, they're monsters. See these and see here, they're like wee angels. Like I'm sure you won't say they're like angels, but they were angels this week. And my mummy always said, you'd better behave when you get out of here. When you're out, you better behave. So I was always good when I was out. Never good in the home. So it says, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I find with these two verses, it's the gospel, really in two verses. There's no simpler, really. You know, if you read through them, you'll find out about the broad road that leads to destruction. You'll find out about the narrow gate that leadeth unto life. It's very simple. Okay, so we'll all say it a couple of times over, and then I'll get one or two picked out, okay, to say it by themselves, right? And we'll let the boys and girls do it first, and then we'll see if the grown-ups are any better. One, two, boys and girls, you ready? One, two.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in the path, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Very good. How was that? Fantastic, wasn't it? Right, grown-ups, you ready for this? Get your specs on there and whatever you need to do. Get your hearing aids in. Right, now you listen. I don't think they'll be as good as you. What do you think? No. We'll give them a chance, will we? Right, grown-ups, after two. One, two. Right, one more go for the boys and girls, and we'll show them how to do it this time. Ready? One, two.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be.
I'm sorry, folks, these definitely win. Big round of applause for the children. Woo! Now, just for the sake of time, I'm sure these are probably looking to throw something at me here. Kyla, could you and Nicole like to come up to say it together? We did during the week. See what I mean? Now, if they'd have told me what outfits there were in the night, I might have been able to do it. Which one are you now?
I'm Kyla. Nicole.
And how old are you?
Six.
Six.
Are you the same age? I don't believe. Are you really?
I'm 1 minute older.
1 minute older. Imagine. I bet she'll never forget that anyway. Right, we're ready. Now I can help you. Now, hold on. I have to get my piece of paper out here. I'll just tell you a quick story about my husband. He was in the open air one night. I guess have we chat about it. That's all right. He was in the open air one night in Kilkeel, and he was preaching his heart out and all the rest of it. And he says, and the Bible says, the best well-known verse, John chapter 3, verse 16, yeah, everybody knows it. It's the gospel in one verse. It's tremendous. He forgot it. Some boy behind him said, for God so loved the world. Oh God, anyway, he went, so. That's him embarrassed, isn't it? Right, I'm going to sit down here. Right, are we ready now?
Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Good job. Girls, take a seat. Thank you, girls. Fantastic, isn't it, you see? Train up a child, the scripture says. and they'll not depart from it when they get older. Abby, would you like to come up with Janet? Do you think you could do it? Do you want to come up? Yes, come ahead. Our age range was 4 till 11, and Abby will be going to big school. Usually sometimes when they go to the big school, you lose them, so this is your chance. All right.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it."
Excellent. Take a breath. Now, I know I was sitting over in that wee seat. I'm going to move a wee bit higher, because I've got some prizes. My husband says I have to look out for 3 best boys and 3 best girls. It's going to be really, really hard. Right, Abel? Good man, you sit up. And I'm going to watch out for you. So thank you very much. As I say, it was a privilege of being here and sending your children. I cannot thank you enough. But I'm sure Graham will say something more later. Thank you.
Well, it is a great privilege for me to be here this evening. Once again, it's always a joy to come to Portadown and renew fellowship with the brethren and sisters here. I would re-echo your minister's words this evening. I'd like to thank especially the two Ruths who organized the Bible Club, and they had the lion's share perhaps of the organization, but I'd like to thank all the workers, every single one of them, because no matter what part you played, I have to say, I stand before you this evening and tell you that it's the best Bible club that we have ever been at. Never mind conducting, but being at. The organization and everything was just amazing. And certainly it is with heavy hearts that we go back to Donaghadee. Well, I don't, because I'm off for 3 weeks now after tonight. But it has been a tremendous week. And I want to encourage you to pray on. See Tommy down there. Tommy was my hoovering chum. When the kids went out, we hoovered the hall together. And certainly it's been a tremendous week. I want you to give them all a clap this evening because they deserve it. And boys and girls, I want you to come back next year in the will of the Lord. As you know, Gillian's sitting up there. She's up there in the eagle's nest by the looks of it. And she's going to be keeping an eye out for the 3 best boys and the 3 best girls. So sit up. Let's sit up and be very good. A couple of verses from the book of Hebrews. It tells us, Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his great name's sake. Boys and girls, I'm sure by now you have all had your school sports days. I remember our school sports day. I was completely... Who's good at sports in the sports days? Okay, put your hands down. Who's completely rubbish like I was? That's maybe more to the point. I was absolutely rubbish at the sports days. But you know, it reminds me of the 3 boys who went along to the Olympic Games one time. There was Paddy Englishman, and he showed up with a brush shaft, and the wee man at the gate, he said, "What are you here for?" He says, "I'm here for the javelin." So they let him in through the gate. And then Paddy Scotsman, he showed up with a huge big rock in his hand, and they asked him, "Well, what are you here for?" He says, "I'm here for the shot put." So they let him in. And then, of course, Paddy Irishman, he showed up with a roll of barbed wire. And they said, "What are you here for?" He says, "I'm here for the fencing." But I was thinking of some of the sports that you would see at a sports day. And I remember the sport that Jillian doesn't like me using the word hate, but I really did not like that sport because I'm not very athletic. And it was the running races. I really, really did not like them. And so I thought about some of the things that you would see at the running race. And I brought along some of these things in this bag. Now, this is not my bag. I have to state this very clearly. This is Gillian's bag. I don't have a pink bag. But I was thinking here about the first thing that you would see, and that is the race itself, boys and girls. The race. That's where every one of the runners in the race, they try to get across the line before the rest of them. And the Bible says here in the reading that we've read, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And boys and girls, what that means is your life is like a race that has to be run well. And how do you run the race of life the best way? It's as a Christian. Somebody, a boy or a girl, who's asked the Lord Jesus into their heart, that's the very best way to run this race of life. And maybe you are saved here in this meeting tonight. Well, the best way that you can run that race after you're saved is with patience or endurance. It means that you have to stick at it. Because, boys and girls, life is full of troubles. And we have to keep on running the race. But as our lives are like a race, every race has a finish. We're going to see that in a wee while. But it also has a beginning. And what do you see at the beginning? It's a gun. Now, a real handgun is very hard to come by because now we have peace. Now that we love each other, and now that we don't all live in West Belfast or somewhere, it's hard to get hold of a real gun. So I had to go into the pound shop and get what I could. And to be frank with you, it's rubbish. But it's all I could get. And so there, you can see the start of the race, and all the racers are crouched down. And the wee man, he stands at the front, he holds the gun up into the air, and he shoots the gun, he fires the gun. And all those racers, they're waiting for the shot to go off. And when that shot goes off, boy, they sprint down that track like nobody's business. That's how the race starts. But you know, boys and girls, the Bible tells us how the race of life starts. It says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, it's the words of David. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And what that means, boys and girls, and older people, is that when we were born as sinners. And that's right. When you and I came into this world, we came into it as a sinner. Because of what our, do you remember how I said during the week? How our great grandparents did in the Garden of Eden. What's their names? That's right, 100%. Adam and Eve, what they did. You can read about it. Does anybody know what book of the Bible it's in? Joshua? That's right. Just behind him. Genesis, in the book of Genesis. And if you have a Bible at home, it's the very first book in the Bible. You go home and you can read about the whole story. But anyhow, God told Adam, "Adam, don't eat of that tree that I'm telling you about, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't you touch that. You can have everything else. Everything else in this garden, you can help yourself to as much as you can eat, but don't touch that one garden or what that one tree in the garden." And because he did that, he sinned. He fell. And because he was the first man, every single boy and girl ever since afterward has been born as a sinner except one. Does anybody know who it is? At the very back? Yes? That's right, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born sinless, but everybody else has been born as a sinner. Now that brings me to the next thing that we need to run in this race. Just let these ones know. Now, I know what yous are thinking. Yous are thinking there's no way on this earth that boy got out of those. There's no way that they would fit that fella. And you know what? They're right. I got Jillian to buy them just for this meeting. But that's right. I couldn't fit into those things. Boys and girls, the runner needs special clothes. Special clothes that make it easy for them to run and win the race. And boys and girls, have you ever seen a runner with a big, big overcoat on them trying to run the race? You couldn't do it. You'd be sweltered. It would hold you back. You've never seen a girl runner with a big, long dress down to her ankles. You couldn't run on that either. You need lighter and smaller clothes like these. But you know, boys and girls, that reminds me about Adam and Eve again. You see, when they had disobeyed God, when sin had come into the world, they knew for the first time that they were naked. And so what did they do? The Bible tells us they sewed fig leaves together. Can you imagine that? Now, they didn't have any wee fancy needles like people do today to do sewing. They didn't have all the thread and everything all nicely cut and ready to go. No, they sat down and they sewed fig leaves together. I remember growing up and carried off as a child. A lot of the girls in the summertime would be sitting on the grass. They'd be picking out daisies and making daisies chains. And because they had nails and I didn't, they were able to slit the stem of the daisy, put another one in and make these necklaces and everything else. And I thought to myself, boy, that's very, very hard to do. But it's nothing to what Adam and Eve tried to do. Sewing fig leaves together to make themselves clothing. And they hid after they did it. But you know, when God came into the garden, he knew they had sinned. He called for them to come out from their hiding place. And God himself made them clothes. It says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." And in doing that, boys and girls, God taught Adam and Eve that their sin needed a covering. That they were now sinners. And boys and girls, that's like us. We need a covering for our sin. And just like Adam and Eve were made that covering back in the old days by the Lord, we too that need God to provide us with a covering. And one day, around 4,000 years after that time in the Garden of Eden, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross for you and for me. And he died and he shed his precious blood. And that is the covering that we need. And all we have to do is ask the Lord Jesus for it. Now, on that runner's vest, it isn't on that one, but it should be, there's a number. Each runner in the race has their own number. And that number is special to every runner in that race, to the single runner in the race. It's how the person or the people that are holding the race know who that person is. Everybody's known by their special number. But then also in the race, every runner has their own lane. And the runners have to stay in that lane that they've been given. It's their own lane. And I was thinking about that, how these are known to the people that are running and holding the race. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 7, "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Isn't that amazing? "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And what that means is that God knows that much about each and every one of us here in this meeting tonight. He knows us so well. He knows how many hairs that are on our heads. Now, there's some gentlemen here this evening that, well, I said reverently, the Lord wouldn't have too much bother. Wouldn't take him too long to count those hairs. But for all that, he knows us personally. Isn't that an amazing thing? Boys and girls, the very God of heaven knows each one of us personally. He knows all about you. He knows the sins that we do. And I know your parents are here and you don't want to maybe admit it in front of them, but for the rest of you that weren't at the Bible club, well, I asked them how many people told lies and all the hands went up. I says, how many people are cheeky to their parents? All the hands went up. How many people do wrong? All the hands went up. So they were very honest in that time. They may not be so honest this evening. But all of those things, boys and girls, because there's so much about us, we will have to answer for. The Bible says, so then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to have to answer for it all. Something else. Unless we were missionaries in Jamaica, boys and girls, and the boys and girls over there, when they were out running, they didn't need shoes. They were able to run on their bare feet. But I'm telling you, you'll probably need shoes to run in a race. And I want you to look at those shoes. Hands up who think those, I know you can't really see it from here, but hands up who think those are brand new. See them? They're like brand new. Boys and girls, those are 13 years old. Shows you how much I use them. I think I've used them once or twice. Back in Canada, in fact, I've never used these over here. I've never had these on in Northern Ireland, believe it or not. But that's what we need to run the race. And I tell you this, the Bible, as it tells us that we are all sinners. We've seen that already. We need to be changed if we want to go to heaven when we die. Heaven's a wonderful place, boys and girls. There's no sin there. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6 and verse 4, even so we should walk in newness of life. And what that means is when we get saved, our lives have to become new. We have to walk in that new and living way if we want to get into heaven someday. And that's why the Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 7, ye must be born again. We must have our lives renewed. Our walk must change. And young person, you may be walking through your life now as a sinner without Christ. You've never asked the Lord into your heart, but you need to change. Just like I did as a boy of 10 after Sunday school one day in 1977. You'll be changed, praise God. You'll be saved. You'll then have a covering for your sin and you'll go to heaven when you die. That's why the Bible says that we are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now there's something, I'm nearly finished. There's something that we have, another thing in the race, and that is the finishing tape. Now, real tape for a race is hard to get, so I hope nobody grasses me up to the peelers after this as to where I got this tape. I can't tell you that. There's only stuff that I could get that looks like finishing tape at a race. Anyhow, you all know, do you remember at your sports day there was a tape or a line or a rope across the lanes that you were running in, and it was the first person that was through the tape or over the line that was the winner, because that tape marks the end of the race. And I'm sure you've seen pictures, whether on the video, on TV or something, of runners, and they're stretching themselves out as hard as they can to be first past that finishing line. And you know, the Bible speaks about that as well. It says in the book of Philippians, it says in chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that simply means, boys and girls, you want to end the race well. You want to end the race well. And if you want to end it in the very best way, it means that you'll come and get saved. And if you are saved, then you'd want to end the race by having done the best that you possibly can. Because that's what pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus really means. One last thing. There's the medal. Now, boys and girls, I had to go into Tesco's and get this. And again, it's just like this. Pretty rubbish. If you won that at a race, you'd maybe think about giving it back. It's that rubbish. But anyway, it's all I could get. Those who win the race, those who have run well, what happens to them? There's just three wee boxes at the front, and they're different heights. And the person that wins the race has a number one on the box, and they stand up on the box, and they get the gold medal. And whoever's in charge, they put the medal over their head, and that's the reward that they have got for all of their hard work in running that, reaching the finishing line. And again, boys and girls, it reminds me of the Bible. As the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord Jesus was teaching the people, you see, about heaven and their great reward that there is there for every person who asks the Lord Jesus into their hearts to take away their sins, and who has lived their lives, the rest of their lives, trying to do the best they can for the Lord. And just like that medal, which the winning runner in the race gets at the finish, that boy or girl who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save them at the finish of their lives, well, at the finish of our lives, we'll receive God's medal. And I tell you this, it's far, far better than any, far, far more special than any old gold medal the Commonwealth Games or the Olympic Games runner will ever win. So tell me, boys and girls, will you get that reward? Older people in this meeting tonight, tell me, answer it in your heart before the Lord. Am I going to get that reward? Or am I going to stand before God someday and he's going to have to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you." What a tragedy that would be. "Ah, but Lord, I did this for you. Ah, but Lord, I did this thing. I went along to Portadown Church one night. Heard a boy from Donaghadee preaching to the children. Depart from me. I never knew you." How serious that is. And that's why we would want you to ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. Whether you're a child like this, my wife was saved when she was 4. I was saved when I was 10. Others, various other ages. People here saved as adults. But boys and girls and old people, ye must be born again. I trust that'll be the case. And once again, boys and girls, I'd like to thank you for sitting up so well and listening. And again, I'd like to thank you for coming along to the meetings. And I trust the Lord will bless you.